We're starting something new here this evening. We got a few people coming up on the stage here, and these are some of the men and women that serve in the Gatekeepers ministry. Yeah, you can give them a round of applause. I don't think you're on there. They faithfully serve week in and week out in the Gatekeepers ministry, which encompasses several different opportunities of service here at the church. Jade, what part of the Gatekeepers do you serve in?
I do second service parking lot.
So parking lot, Jade's in the parking lot, second service, yes. Rick, you serve in the Gatekeepers ministry in what capacity?
I am one of the ushers.
So Rick's one of the ushers faithfully here at the church. Tracy, you serve in the Gatekeepers ministry in what area?
In the Welcome Center.
Welcome Center, so yeah. And Anna, you serve in the Gatekeepers ministry in what area?
Greeting?
Okay, so we have the Gatekeepers ministry. This ministry, as you can see, represents from maybe the very first person you see when you come in to the parking lot. You know, you're greeted by Jade with his amazing hair and his bright orange vest, right? And then maybe you get a little further into the church and you may run into Tracy, who welcomes you and shows you what's going on at the church. And then you come into the foyer and there's Anna to greet you with a smile and the joy of Jesus as she welcomes you to the church. And then you've got to find a seat. And so Rick, right, will faithfully walk down the aisle. He'll eyeball you a seat and he'll be like, okay, come on right down and seat you. So they serve here at the church in those areas. And we just have a few questions we'd like to ask them to maybe encourage you to get involved in serving in the church here. And so here's a question for you. What do you enjoy most about serving in the Gatekeepers ministry? So is there anything that just stands out? Like, I really enjoy this part of the ministry the most.
Well, I'd have to say the coffee and the donuts, that's brought me in here.
What's your favorite donut, Jade?
Maple.
All right, so if you want a good parking space, second service, Maple Bar might go along. Yeah, okay.
My favorite part would probably be just getting to know the group of guys in the parking lot. There's a lot of faithful guys that I've gotten to know over the year and a half that have been doing this. Just faithful, they're there every week, and just hanging out with them is cool. And then just meeting new guys, just being out there saying hi. I've met a lot more people, gotten to know, and just building relationships week after week. Just, you know, simple hello, but every week a little bit more. And it's just that's my
cool
favorite part.
Good. Anybody else? Rick?
Yeah, I think probably the most rewarding thing that I do is just the relationships that I get to develop with the people as they come in. It's amazing. You know, you see these people on a weekly basis that come in, and you really, really develop a great relationship with these people, and you get to know them pretty well. And if they don't show up, you wonder what's going on, you know, and you miss them. And so just a real wonderful relationships that we develop with the congregation.
Tracy, Anna, anything you'd like to add?
Getting to know meeting the new people and getting them where they need to be and seeing the excitement on their face and being the first time here, wondering what we're all about, and just seeing their joy.
Okay, good.
Welcoming the Lord's people into his temple.
Welcoming the Lord's people.
Just bringing them in, smiling to them, and them smiling back.
Like that's
said,
awesome.
The ministry, I just smile. Nothing to
the
it.
Ministry of joy. That's awesome.
Just
now,
Jesus.
Here's something for you. So you've been serving for some time now. Now, why did you start to serve in the church here? Why did you start ushering, or why did you start at the Welcome Center? What was the kind of factor that brought you into service?
For me, it was never something that I thought I would just like do, but it was just month after month, I saw it in the bulletin that there was a need, mm-hmm. and just one day it just clicked. I was like, hey, that's something I can do. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't really take much. So I just figured, you know, I might as well. Like, the most important thing is to be the willing to serve, to just to take that step of faith and to just do it.
I think myself, I've been a Christian for several years, and I've never really been involved with any specific ministry other than just coming here on a Sunday morning. And I felt I was missing something. I felt empty and not fully fulfilled. And I think that's what led me to it. And since I've become involved in the different ministries, being an usher, one of them, I just feel a lot more fulfilled being able to serve the Lord and just honor him. And I can't tell you how much how much it means to be able to do something like that for the Lord.
Hey, Sharon.
Helping people. Uh-huh. I feel like the Lord has given me the gift of helps, and I just love being available and helping people.
Hmm. That's awesome.
For me, you come to church all the time, but I got tired coming to church. I want to be the church.
Mm.
When you
Amen.
Serve the Lord, you
Amen.
Become the church.
Amen. That's good.
You become closer to one another.
Mm-hmm.
You meet more people, and you are the church.
Mm. That's good. That's good. Now, what would you tell someone who's thinking about serving? Maybe they have a ministry questionnaire and, you know, they've got to the part of their name and the address and the ministry gatekeepers. What would you say to them to encourage them to fill some of the needs here at the church, start to enjoy some of the blessings that you've enjoyed? What would be your word of wisdom to them?
I think probably the most important thing is to pray about it. One thing you know is the Lord does want you to work. He does want you to be involved. And it's not if, it's where.
Mm.
And there's four areas that are represented here today. And I think that, first of all, you need to pray about it. But take that step, because I can't tell you how rewarding it is to be able to serve the Lord and just develop the relationships that you can.
Mm.
They just do it. After you have prayed, just jump in with 2 feet and do it. The Lord will bless your socks off.
Now, were any of you nervous the first day? Like first day of serving, first day you were going to usher, first day of Welcome Center. How were the nerves that first day?
Horrible.
Horrible? All right.
I think when you have to, you know, set somebody, I guess probably the most nervous I got was when I had to come down to the front row and I had to tell people, you have got to move over so these people can sit in here. That was difficult initially.
Now, so there was nerves maybe the first day when you showed up to serve. How was it, though, when you got in the car and left the church after your first day of serving in the church that you faithfully attend?
It was incredible.
Incredible? Yeah.
Our first day we served, we had a gentleman came in. It was our very first person we spoke to. All we did was said, good morning, welcome. And he went about 3 feet and stopped. He turned around, looked at us, and he said, thank you.
Hmm.
And I was like, that just, we knew then what we were doing. We were here for the Lord. It was an awesome moment.
All the nerves forgotten and
yes.
Excitement.
You just can't stop smiling.
Hmm.
The Lord has giving you a physical body to serve him, and he allows you, because sometimes you want to do it and you physically can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So he gives you permission, so do it, just like being grateful that you could do it.
Mm. Awesome. And kind of closing here, maybe one last thing. How would you encourage the church body here to start serving? How would you encourage them to go about maybe finding the needs in the gatekeeper's ministry or stepping up to, you know, start serving in the gatekeeper's ministry? Where should they start?
You know, ask questions. You know, we have the all of us, you know, when you come in, you have the people in the parking lot. If they need help, ask them, talk to them about it. And ask the greeters, ask me, you know, if we're in need. And probably right now the answer is yes, we are in need. All of us are in need. We need people to serve. And I always encourage you. You'll get your socks blessed off. it'll really be an awesome time for you.
Awesome. So awesome.
Take that step.
Just go get an application, fill it out, and do it.
Get a ministry questionnaire, fill it out. Okay.
And I'd just like to say, like,
maybe it's me. Maybe.
Don't be discouraged if, like, you go into ministry and then you realize that that specific ministry might not be for you. Don't be like, oh, well, I'm not going to serve that because I didn't like that one. There's many. This isn't the only four in the entire church where you can serve. There's many places to be plugged in. You will just have to find the right one that's for you. So just don't be discouraged if the first one you try isn't for you.
Awesome. Thank you. I want to give him a round of applause. That was some good wisdom. Thank you so much. a little insight into some of the ministry here at the church. And next week, we'll have some children's ministry representatives here to let you know what it is to be in the classroom with the little ones and all the exciting things that come out, all the things they learn about my family in the children's ministry and all that good stuff. And so come out again next week. Also, too, you got to meet a few people. If you see them afterwards and you have questions about the ministry, approach them. You know, go and talk to Jade, talk to Anna, talk to Rick or Tracy, and maybe get some more information. Pastor Brian also oversees that ministry. He'll be available after the service. You can talk to him. But with this, let's go ahead and transition into God's Word. And so if you have your Bible, why don't you open it to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this evening. As we start in our resolution series, we move to be challenged to use the gifts God has given us in service, in His family, in the church. We come to the first study in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we learn this. The believer is gifted. The believer in Jesus is gifted to serve in God's family. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 1. And if you're there, can I get a let's do this? Let's do it. Here we go. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, or your Bible may say pagans, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different tongues or kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. Look at this, verse 11. Distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Will you bow for a moment of prayer? Father, we come before you and we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that are being used in the church family this evening, just this service. Lord, we thank you for Dennis Akajanian and his band and the gifts that you've given them and how they use them to lead us in worship, to encourage us. We thank you for the gifts that are being used in the Gatekeepers ministry. We thank you for the words that were shared. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts that are being used in the deaf ministry with interpreting and, Lord, the gift of teaching and the gift of hospitality. We thank you for what you are doing at Calvary Chapel, the High Desert. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to work in the church here and that you would continue to add to the church daily those that are being saved. And that, Father, you would use this time for us to stir one another up to love and good works. I pray, Lord, that through the teaching of your word, that we would be equipping the saints for the work of the ministry and that we would be involved in serving in the church, but also, Lord, in proclaiming the love of Jesus outside of the church. And so we give you this time as your word is open and we ask that you would speak to us. We ask, Father, that you would be honored, that you would work in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives by your Spirit as you see fit. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. The believer in Jesus is gifted to serve the body of Christ. Let me make this personal for you here in my own life and how I have seen God faithfully work in me by His grace, by His Spirit. I've been blessed to be a part of this church for many years. It's the church of my kind of growing up, and it was through the church here and the opportunity of being a part of the family of God that God graciously revealed to me the gift of the Spirit in my life. I was 15 years old, and I remember 15 years old. You know, I knew everything back then. I was like a teenager, and so I was the most well-educated person in my whole family at that moment in life. And in all of my abundant knowledge, I had this determination or this idea to take a step of faith and go on a missions trip to Mexico. This is a little different than the weekend trip. This was going to be a 10-day trip, 10 days where I could, you know, spread my wings, be out from the family, be in a different country. I had to get a passport. Whoa, that's huge at 15. First airplane flight ever. It was awesome. But at this missions trip, I remember the night before I kind of stepped aside from all of my wisdom and everything that I knew. And I remember praying the night before the plane left, God, I give you this next 10 days. I pray that you would use me. I pray, God, that you would reveal yourself to me. I'm yours. And God did something absolutely amazing in my life over that next 10 days. And what he did that was so amazing was this. He used me. He worked in me. He worked through me. And there was one moment of the trip that has impacted and even altered kind of my life from that point on. It was one of the late evenings, and the leader of the trip came up to me as this, you know, 15-year-old and said, hey, Chris, why don't you share the devotion tomorrow morning? I'm like, do what? Why don't you share a devotion for the team tomorrow morning? And I'm like, all right, cool. And I remember going back to our apartment room, and there I was with a couple of my friends, and the reality hit me. I'm going to give a Bible study tomorrow. I didn't sleep a wink. I'm looking in my Bible at parts of my Bible that I hadn't looked at like ever, right? I'm thumbing all over the place. I'm trying to figure out what do I do. And over the course of time and praying and studying, I came up with this cheesy little outline from a section of scripture out of the book of Colossians. The next morning came, and there I was in front of, you know, the whole team from the church, and I got to give my first devotion. You know, I'm sweating, I'm shaking, I'm talking ridiculously fast. I know sometimes I even still speak a little fast, you're like, slow down. But I remember going through everything that I had studied. I let it all out, and then I prayed, and afterwards a man came up to me and said, hey, you should try doing that again. I go, what? He says, yeah. You should try teaching again. It ended, or it began, this work of God in my life that would move on to coming back at the age of 15, signing up to do junior high ministry, where I spent with Jackie, who became my wife. We spent like 13 years. She's going to correct me. I'm probably off on the time. But like the next 13 years of our life serving Jesus in junior high ministry. And you know what I got to faithfully do? Exercise the gift of God's Spirit of teaching 11, 12, 13, and 14-year-olds. And it was this radical thing in my life of, wait a minute, God can use me. God is using me. And God has taken care of absolutely everything in this opportunity of service. He's provided the strength. He's provided the gifting. He's provided the opportunity. He's so faithful. And did you know that if you're a believer in Jesus, you can have a testimony and a story, as it were, of kind of the same work of God's Spirit in your life? What I'd like to do is just show you, as we enter into this section of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul lays out to us some great truths for us to understand that if we are a believer in Jesus, we are gifted to serve in the family of God. And notice, as you maybe are in here going like, okay, so you're saying if I'm a believer in Jesus, I have a gift. What is it? How do I figure it out? Look at how Paul begins to unveil it, or begin to show it. As we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, understand that if you are sitting in here this evening and you're going, okay, you're telling me that there's a gift that I can serve, that I could meet a need. You know, I want to know what my gift is. I want to know how to serve. I want to know what part I can play in the family of God. Understand that that is a good desire. desire, and that is even in this section of scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul lets it be known that it is good to desire spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 14, 1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. In verse 12 of chapter 14, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So if you're kind of on the edge of your seat, like, okay, I want to know, I want to be gifted, I want to be used, that is a good desire. Notice how it progresses and how it works in Paul's teachings in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The first thing I need to know, like, if I'm gifted, it starts with, how can I know, like, that I have a gift? It starts with salvation. You must be a believer, a follower of Jesus. You must be one who has found forgiveness of your sin, your guilt washed away because of Jesus' work on the cross, dying for your sins. And if you have been forgiven, there is a changing work that God works in your life to make you a new creation, and the Spirit not only forgives you of your sins, or you're not only forgiven of your sins, but the Spirit of God distributes gifts to believers. Look at how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts. So you have his topic right there. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. In other words, I don't want you to be uninformed. You have to know what this looks like. You have to know how this takes place. And he continues on in verse 2, kind of a unique transition. You know that you were Gentiles. You know that you were pagans, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaks by the Spirit of God, speaking by the Spirit of God, calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Look at how Paul starts this chapter off in this concept of, if I'm gifted, it starts with salvation. I have to be in the family. I must be a believer in Jesus to be one who has spiritual gifts. And he does this great thing. If you notice, it's maybe difficult to pick up at first, but Paul kind of shows us three groups of people in the opening section of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The first group would be that Gentile or that pagan led away to dumb idols. The next group would be the one that says, you know, no one can say that Jesus is accursed and really be a Spirit-filled believer. They can't say that Jesus is accursed or Jesus is accursed. There's another group there that would fall into the unbeliever. But then there is the believer in the text, the church that's represented, where he goes on and he says, but through the work of the Holy Spirit, what do they say? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is master of the soul. Jesus is Lord of the life. He says, when that is present in a person, the Spirit is at work, and you'll see that those gifts come from the Spirit. So look at how this first group looks like. He talks about these people, the people in Corinth, the Gentile, non-Jewish person, given commonly the title of pagan. It would be a majority of us in here apart from Christ. He says they are led after dumb idols. Now think for a minute of what you're kind of, you hear that word of idol, you begin to think of maybe a statue, a figurine, right? If you've maybe gone into certain restaurants for particular cuisines, you know, they have their little, like, gods that are around. And, you know, I've even walked into some restaurants and there's even like a little offering to the god of like a chicken breast and some rice. And I'm like, man, that just food just went to waste. Like, it's on a weight. Do you think they would notice if I took a bite out of it? I mean, it's still warm, right? A lot of times you're like, you're scandalous. They're dumb idols. The whole idea of dumb, it speaks of this. They're mute, they're voiceless, they're lifeless. They offer absolutely nothing. But so often I think we categorize it in this concept. It's a figurine or a statue. It's something out of gold or silver or wood or something that's been cast or carved. Another way in which we can kind of hear it from time to time is like, okay, it's like the NFL if you're a football fan or something like that, right? Like your God is the pigskin. I know it's, you know, playoffs and all. And we may hear it spun that way, but is it possible if we search our own heart that this struggle to be led away by dumb idols, one of the biggest idols that can come in our life is ourself? In other words, the end where it says Jesus is Lord, the one who is saved, Jesus is master, Jesus is leader, Jesus is owner. But how often do we idolize ourselves? I'm on my throne. I want things this way. And we idolize things that we don't realize are idols. Let's put it in a couple of ways. Think about this. How when self is on the throne, we can idolize self-image. So much effort in being a certain size, so much effort in having a certain physique, so much effort in counting every calorie, every gram of sugar, and making sure all of our nutrients are correct, making sure that our exercise routine is intense enough, capturing a picture in the mirror of ourselves every day so we can track our gains or track our progress. And in that moment, your own image becomes an idol. It may satisfy you in the moment when you meet your goal, but guess what? Death still seems to win. The body still seems to degrade and deteriorate. And we might be able to set it off for a little bit with plastic and silicone, but if you go too far with that, you kind of lose almost your humanness. You look more like a messed up Barbie. What about in this aspect of idol, the idol of a career, the striving to put everything aside, to even say this, God, I will come back to you and back to your church, but first I need to accomplish this. And we can attain the moment of the career and have the sense of success, but don't we all realize that not all companies last forever, that positions and jobs get outsourced or become extinct? And we're left with what? Even in the moment of idolizing possibly the aspect of parenting, a mother or a father that gets so enraptured in their children, so focused on them, making sure that everything is right for them, and even kind of living out their own dreams through their kids, and they can lose focus that ultimately Jesus is Lord. This idea of starting with salvation, it's a call really to search your own heart and go, wait, have I been impacted by the cross? The second group he brings up would predominantly be the Jewish believer or the Jewish person in Corinth where Paul is writing. You know, they look at Jesus, this Jew who comes on the scene and says, you know, I'm the one that it was promised. I'm the one the scriptures foretold. I'm the anointed one. And their common response to Jesus would be, he is a curse. He's cursed. That's foolishness. It could be even that moment in your life before Christ impacted you where you wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Now, Jesus, you thought it was foolishness. You were the one that would harass the person that was trying to share with you and tell you about how great Jesus is. And you're like, I want nothing to do with that. That's that kind of person. But notice where this gifting starts. There is the individual, which I pray and hope as many, if not all of you in here tonight, that can say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is commander of my life. Jesus is the one who controls my attitude and my working. Listen to how Anthony Thiselton puts it. He says this, to confess Jesus as Lord involves the whole self in an attitude of trust, obedience, commitment, loyalty, and reverence to Jesus as the Lord who has the care of one's life. The believer can say, hey, the Lord Jesus has care of my life. I am His. He does what He wishes. He moves how He wishes on my life. Have you seen that work in the cross of Jesus? We can so easily be left by dumb idols, lifeless things, but have you seen the life, the light of the world hanging lifeless on the cross to give you life? The radical movement to go, you may be at one time Jesus, he's cursed, but have you gazed upon him upon the cross as cursed for you because you're damned in your sin? But he says, I'll die for them that they might be forgiven, that they might be saved. When you see the majesty and the beauty of Jesus, what does it do? It brings you to the moment where you bend your knee in your life and you say, "You are Lord, I'm yours." And it's in that moment that not only does God forgive the sinner who confesses their sin, not only does He change the sinner, becoming a new creation in Christ, being one who has the Spirit of God working in their life, you're going to find from this text that God then also gifts the believer to serve in the church and to further the kingdom. So the first thing, it starts with salvation. Am I a believer in Jesus? Am I a follower of Christ? Can I come to the moment and search in my heart and my soul and go, I have been out with the dumb idols. I have understood the work of Jesus in His beauty and His majesty, and He is master. But then it moves on to notice, secondly, in understanding that you're gifted, you see Paul lay out something great. God is the source of spiritual gifts. It starts with salvation, but then he says God is the source of spiritual gifts. Look at how he transitions into verse 4. He goes into further, and notice how he starts with this word diversity, or there's varying, or many, but he always seems to bring it back to one God. Look at it, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. Look at verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. If you look just back at verse 4, notice he uses diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. In other words, spiritual gifts are many, but they all come from one place, one God. Now, I've learned something. As a father of children, right? Because that's really all you can be a father of, I think, right? At least today in America. You always need to ask where something comes from. When you have little children and you see them with something, one of the most important questions is, where did that come from? Example, if you're at a major theme park and you look away for one moment at one of your little humanoids, and then when you gaze back at them and they're chewing gum, there is one question you have. Where did that come from? And you know what? You're not going to always like that answer. Where did that? You are so disgusting. It happens. Can you get Dad a towel really quick? I need to dry my face, my hands. I didn't. Sure, I got it, Dad. I got it. What's taking so long? Like the bathroom's just like right there. Where it's right there in the cupboard. What's it? Here, Dad. I got it for you. Where did this come from? The garage. Hon, I'm going to put on my face. I just washed the car with this. Wanted a towel. Right, it's an important question. Where did it come from? We can come here and ask the question of gifts. Where do they come from? And Paul clearly gives us the answer of where do spiritual gifts come for us to exercise and use in the body of Christ. They come from God and God alone. It's important that we get that, because so often we look at somebody who's gifted and we think like, man, they're so gifted. Like, look at them. They're so special. They're like extra holy. They like have so much talent. They have so much ability. No. God graciously provided that gift, and He'll do the same in your life. Where does it all come from? It comes from the Lord. Look at this. God is the source of a diversity of gifts. The source of all gifts is God, but look at God in His abundance. He provides a diversity of gifts. Do you see it in verse 4? Do you see that diversity of gifts? Diversity or differences of ministries, diversity of activities. It all gives us idea, all accumulate on one thing. There are many, the list is very long, of gifts that God has for His church. It's not like there's three gifts and that's it. So maybe you kind of thinking that like, okay, there's like the music gift, there's the talkie gift, right? And then there's like the thanks for coming gift. No, there's a diversity of gifts. God in His creativity, in His wonder, has provided so many gifts that He gives to His people. But it reminds us that in all of the diversity, not to lose focus of where they come from. They come from one God. God is the source of our diversity. It's something special in this aspect within the family of God, because a lot of times we think this, that if we become a Christian or if we're walking with the Lord and serving the Lord, then like all these Christians are just all the same. And I don't want to lose my individuality. Like I don't want to have to, you know, dress a certain way, be a certain way, and I can only do this. But look at this, with the diversity of gifts, you still get to express individuality because you're fearfully and wonderfully made, but you get to be a part of something greater than the individual. You still have your individuality. There's a diversity of gifts. But you're a part of something greater than just you. And the source of that gift and that blessing is the Lord. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 4, it says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. You know, this concept of spiritual gifts, like how would you define it? Let me give you a few different definitions. They're all very similar. One's maybe a little bit longer, but I think it'll help drive it home of what it is to say there's gifts available for the believer in Jesus whose source is God. Here's one definition. Every Christian has been given supernatural endowments, gifts from the Holy Spirit, which through the Spirit are God's divine means of ministering His will and power among His people and to the world. We'll take it a little shorter. They are God's supernatural provision for the edification of the church and the evangelization of the world. We'll go even easier. Every believer is given a gift, which is a means or a channel by which the Spirit of God ministers to others. God, by His Spirit, provides the ability to encourage and bless others. How many of you have maybe been encouraged and blessed by somebody in the church family? Now, maybe to better understand gifts, we've got to see what they're not. And so understand what they're not. They're not talents. Now, of course, talents come from the Lord, but these spiritual gifts, these come from the Spirit of God, as you'll see in a moment. They're God-given. They're sourced in God. They're not talents. You know, you think about it for a minute. These are things that only belong really to the believer. An atheist can be talented at playing sports. That's a talent. It's a God-given talent, but they don't have to have the Spirit of God to be good at hitting a basketball or hitting a baseball, dunking a basketball, driving a golf ball. A non-Christian can be a wonderful painter and have the talent of great art. You have talents. You may have a talent to draw or to play, or maybe some, you know, really weird talent that you're hoping to get on America's Got Talent someday, you know, and that's your thing. That's not what's being talked here. This is God's provision, God's means and channels to minister to His people and to evangelize the world. Notice in this, God is the source. God is the focus of all gifts. Well, there's many, and we can kind of lose focus. You can go, man, there's so many different things, and where do I start? Paul drives us home to go, no, wait a minute. You must focus on God working in here. To put it in this way, don't focus on the gifts, but the one from where they come from. We can look around and go like, look at, okay, I think they got this gift, and they've got that gift. They're like, oh, look at them, and look at them. What are you doing? You're looking at others instead of your focus being on the one who gives the gifts. To show how this illustrates in the text, go back and look at this. God is completely involved in the gift giving. God is completely involved as the source of all of it. Verse 4, notice that Paul wonderfully mentions all three persons of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are all involved in this. When he gives all the diversity of ministries and activities and Spirit, he brings our activities and gifts. He brings it back to there is one Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit. One Lord. If you look back, remember Those that say Jesus is Lord, there's the Son, and there's one God, God the Father, all at work, all should be the focus. And even furthermore, look at a few verses through the text and see how God is involved. He is the source of all of these things. He is working and providing them. Verse 11, you see that God is working in this. He is the source. The Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. The Spirit of God distributes. That is, He has the special plan and purpose to give you certain gifts. They come from Him. To see God as the source alleviates you from this aspect. It's not, oh, I've got to do this, or if I was as good as them, or look at them. No, it's to go, all gifts are God's grace that He gives to believers. But then He goes further. Look at what He says then in verse 18. God has set the members as He pleased. God has set, that is, God has arranged or assigned. He's given duty and task to each individual in the body of Christ as He pleases. In other words, the gift that you have by God's Spirit, God the Father has assigned you in a part in His body. He is pleased in where you're at. He is pleased when you are fulfilling His call and His instruction on your life. But then we also see, verse 27 or 24, rather we see Jesus is present. God composed, or no, verse 24, God also composed the body. He assembled it, it references in verse 24. He unified the whole body of Christ, all of us, all of the members, all the believers in Jesus. He assembles them all, unifies them as one body, but He does it with many different parts. He mixes, He matches, He assembles as He sees fit. And then verse 27, look at the Son is even involved. You are the body of Christ. You are one as Christ. Paul will say in Ephesians chapter 5 that Christ is the head of the body. Do you see God's faithful work? Let's see a few points of application in this, and then we wrap up with one more thing. This aspect of God is the source of spiritual gifts. We allow the Creator to define our individuality instead of our feelings. You understand this? There's a diversity of gifts, and so there's certain things that Jesus or that the Spirit of God is working in your life that makes you an individual and distinct and have a special place in the body of Christ. But that is not given to you because you felt like it or because you wanted it, but because God in His graciousness as Creator has given it to you. Second thing of application, we serve with God's provision and for His pleasure. It means this: credit doesn't belong to me for the gifts that I use because God provided them and God sustains them and God uses them and He's pleased in it. Here's a third thing that I think is very important for us to see. God's will in my life is the use of spiritual gifts. Now, let's take a minute. This might sting a little bit. But God's will is that I use the gifts that He's given me. So if I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a part of the church, and you're wondering, what is God's will for my life? One of the directions for your life is God says, use the gifts I've given you. Be an active member in the body of Christ. Use the gifts that I gave you. Put into practice what I've provided for you. One final thing. Final thing about I'm gifted. Gifts are received, not earned. Gifts are received, not earned. It's not something I earn, but it's rather something I've been given. And the text is clear. Look, if you would, in verse 8. We kind of go through 8 through 11, but 11 really drives the point home, but it builds. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Do you see it? All of the gifts, but it comes where? From the same Spirit. The Spirit of God gives to the believer spiritual gifts to be used in the body of Christ. It's received, not earned. Now, this could be difficult in our consumer day of age, right? I mean, like, I keep thinking, as we just came off Christmas, you know, one of the new classic Christmas movies, you know, the movie Elf, right? You know, Buddy the Elf traveling through New York, and there's that one time where he goes to meet his dad for the first time, and there's the talk of a Christmas Graham, right? And Buddy the Elf says, "What's a Christmas Graham? I want one," right? You know, we read these gifts like, "What's that? I want one." Well, guess what? You can't go to Amazon and Prime ship one to yourself in 2 days. They're received, not earned. They're received, not purchased. Now, you might be able to go on Amazon and, you know, buy an elliptical with a case of king-size Snickers bars and Flaming Hot Cheetos and a fan belt for your 79 Camaro, because Amazon's the everything store, right? But you can't prime ship spiritual gifts, because they're given by the Spirit of God. And so look at this. It starts with salvation. Jesus is Lord. My focus in all of it is God. God, you have a diversity of gifts. God, you have worked in this. You've placed me in the body where you have placed me, and you're pleased. God, you have purposed me in this place. And on top of it, God, I've received these gifts because the Spirit has delivered them. They have been given. They're not earned. There's no school of spiritual gifts. And at the end of the certification, you get your spiritual gifting. You're like, "Good, because I wasn't good in school." You know what it is? It's grace. The grace is seen here in verse 11. He distributes to each one individually as he wills. The Spirit of God gives the gifts. In Romans 12:6, Paul will say, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith." It's a fresh perspective like this. Spiritual gifts are not a badge of spirituality, but a mark of grace. The spiritual gifts that are given, they're given by God's grace. He does it, not because we deserve it, not because I'm special or you're special, but because he graciously gives it. But on top of it, the gifts that you are given, you can come to this point of going, and this is God's will. Verse 11, he gives it individually as he wills. Verse 18, in the body, just as he pleased, it is God's will to give you these gifts. And as we see over the weeks, next week we'll see the diversity of gifts and see all the different listings of them and look at so many different ones. But we've got to realize that these are given, that this is a work of God's grace. Because if we lose focus and focus just on the gifts instead of operating in love out of maturity in our faith to use our gifts, tension can build. Matter of fact, to best understand 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you have to understand it in a block. It's chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. You can even see if you read 12, 13, and 14 together, you'll even see that in the church in Corinth there is a tension, a lack of focus on the gifts. Matter of fact, in chapter 14, after Paul gives this great encouragement and exhortation on love and how love should be center in the church and the importance of love, he deals with what seems to be their hot button ticket, or the gifts that they're focusing on, tongues and prophecy. It's radical that in this short section of scripture, some 21 times Paul references the gift of tongues. It's like it's the big issue that seemed to be for them, because they were losing focus that, wait, the gifts that I have are not to show off. It's not a spiritual badge, but it's God's grace in my life that he's been faithful to me. And I must focus on him as the source and him as the giver and him as the savior. If we do that, some radical things happen in our life. Think about it for a minute. It may be that you are using the gifts God has given you and you're being blessed, But you could be sitting in here frustrated and upset because you are watching other people use the gifts God has given them instead of yourself using the gifts God has given you. When you use the gifts God is giving you and you step up, understanding that He has given, it's a work of His grace, you will be contributing instead of being in conflict. Look at them. Look at what they're doing. Look at how they're being used. And simply go, God, I'm so glad that You're gracious to use me in this way. A couple of closing things about your gifted. Here's something that's important to see. You can be certain that as a believer in Jesus, you have at least one gift. Every believer has a gift. You can be certain that as a believer, you don't have all the spiritual gifts. So nobody should go home to their family and go, I am the gifted one. I have all the spiritual gifts. You have at least one gift, but you don't have all the gifts. And next week we'll see the diversity of those gifts and we'll be reminded over those weeks, I have at least one, maybe more, but I don't have all. Because God is working in all of us as one body for the furtherance of His kingdom and to build His church. Will you bow for a moment of prayer? Father, I thank You for the truth of Your word. I thank You, Lord, for the encouragement that is present and the encouragement that has taken place this evening. Lord, I thank You that we can come to Your word and that we can discover that as followers of Jesus, that we are gifted to bless others and minister to others. Maybe in some of the ways we've been blessed and ministered to by our fellow brothers and sisters in the body. Lord, I thank You that in all of this, we are reminded of the one great truth that this all starts at the cross. That the gifts that the Spirit gives, Lord, is as we gaze upon the greatest gift ever given to man, the perfect, spotless Son of God, dying for our sin, shedding His blood, hanging shamefully, that we might be forgiven, that we might be changed, and that, Lord, by Your grace, a part of the family and even gifted. And so, Lord, as believers in here tonight, we want to worship You and be in awe of all the greatness that is accomplished and given and provided in Your Son Jesus, as we think we have all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. But, Lord, we also understand that there may be people that have come in this evening and we're so thankful that they're here. And it's a new understanding that all of this starts with a relationship of Jesus, being saved from their sin, being forgiven of their wrong. And I ask, Lord, if there's anyone in here tonight that is not walking with You, has not trusted in Jesus and confessed their wrong and been forgiven and made new in Christ, that they would do that tonight. I ask while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if there's anybody in here this evening that you understand that it starts with salvation and you want to be saved from your wrong and your sin. You want your guilt washed. You want relationship with God, understanding that Jesus died for you. Would you raise your hand? Anybody in here tonight? Just raise your hand. You're raising your hand to say, I want to be a follower of Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you in the back. Those of you that raised your hand, God bless you in the way back. Those of you that raised your hand, realizing, going, wait, I need forgiveness. I need Jesus. It starts at the cross. I don't want to be led by the dumb idols of this world, but by a Lord and a Savior, Jesus, who has provided Himself for me. God bless you. Will you take a minute in your seat and just cry out to Him and say, Lord, I know I've wronged You. I know I've sinned. And I ask that You would forgive me. I know that Jesus died on the cross for all of my wrong and all of my sin. forgive me. I trust in Jesus. I turn from my wrong to live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for adding to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand for one last worship song.
The name of have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. You're the name above all names.
Let's all together sing this one more time. What a powerful name it is.
What a powerful name it is. Stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Lord, indeed your name is powerful, your name is wonderful, your name is beautiful. Thank you for the opportunity to gather and worship your name. We ask that you are glorified. Lord, as we go throughout our week, I just ask that you allow us to let our light shine for you, that we'd be just a witness to those around us. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Awesome. You know what tonight
I just want to encourage you a few things that I learned tonight, that maybe you came here for experience and maybe you found out that you're here to participate. I want to encourage you tonight. What you heard in the series that we're going to go into is that you're going to dig deeper into God's Word and find out that you were gifted supernaturally to further His kingdom and where you play that part. What a wonderful name it is. That's a great way to end the night. That God called each and every one of us, and some of us tonight have made that decision to make that stand for Christ. And at the end of the service, you could clap for that. That's a good thing. And at the end of the night, if you've made that decision, there's a door over here to my left, to your right. I'd encourage you to go back there. We're going to place a Bible in your hand, a little Bible study. We want you to get plugged in. And with that also, we have Dennis Agajinian has a table in the rear. We'd like you to go back there, check that out. And as a family, as Chris was teaching, I want you to encourage that. Question yourself, are you part of the family? That's a big thing. Do not walk out of here unless you know you are part of this family. That is key. And with that being said, I'd like to encourage you to take a step out in the courtyard here. We have some fellowship. Get to know each other. We're family. Amen? You guys have a wonderful night.